whole group of stuff, don't you?
Good morning, Council.
Good morning, sir.
The first item that I'd like to present today involves a agreement with Delta Airport Consultants. Excuse me. Delta Airport Consultants was selected and approved by Council back in September of 2013, and this represents the first task order that they have been assigned. And it also includes the base agreement. Both of those items should be in your packet. Task order number one, in an amount not to exceed $15,000, is to provide professional services to update the airport's Exhibit A as required by the FAA. Exhibit A, which is also called an airport property map, is a detailed drawing that depicts the airport property boundary, the various tracts of land that were acquired to develop the airport, and the methods of acquisition. In order for Sussex County to apply for any future FAA funds, the exhibit must be updated and approved by FAA. Once completed, we're hopeful to begin task order number two for design and engineering services for a general aviation airport to accommodate additional aircraft tie-down space. The FAA funding for that effort was recently announced in the news media. So we would like to get that process started, but the first things first, we have to complete this requirement.
You have a motion, sir?
Yes, sir. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the Sussex County Council approves the base contract agreement for services with Delta Airport Consultants Incorporated, along with task order number one to update the airport's Exhibit A airport property map as required by FAA, effective today, June 3rd, 2014.
Entertain a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. The next item involves the selection of consultants for miscellaneous engineering services over a five-year period. Included in your packet was a memo which described the entire process that we went through. I'll try to briefly overview that. A request for proposals was issued in March for services that included but are not limited to survey, planning, environmental assessment, engineering design, construction inspection, administration, and management, as well as value engineering of engineering projects. Work items covered by other consultant selections are to be excluded from this selection. So, for example, the Delta Airport one that I just mentioned there, that would not be an assignment, an airport assignment would not be given to one of the miscellaneous consultants.
Sure.
The scope of services was approved by the county administrator and a committee was appointed. I was selected as the person in responsible charge. The committee included Hal Godwin and Kathy Roth, both are not able to be here today. Also, Jewel Gibbons, John Ashman, and Dory Cole are with me here today. Initially, we started with 17 firms that submitted responses. We made a short list from that down to 11 firms. We interviewed those 11 firms on May 16th, and from that made our final selection. The final selection was based on the criteria of experience and reputation, expertise with scope of services outlined in the RFP, the capacity to meet requirements, location, demonstrated ability, familiarity with public work and its requirements, and distribution of work to individuals and firms and the quality of their presentation. These are criteria that are required in our consultant selection procedures and in the state code. We picked seven firms. Actually, two firms tied for six. Those firms are George, Miles, and Buehr, GMB, Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, DBF, Hazen and Sawyer, RK&K, EA Engineering Science and Technology, Pannoni, and KCI. The recommendation of the committee is to offer consultant contracts to these top seven firms. With this strong and talented group of consultants, the county will be able to assign work for a wide variety of needs over a five-year period. Some firms have expertise in one very specific area. Most have expertise in many of the areas that we will require.
What are some of those areas? Could you
elaborate on what those areas are?
That we may need experience in? Well, obviously, water and wastewater is something that most of the firms were, are able to provide some level of expertise. Some may have expertise in survey, excuse me, construction, inspection, and administration. Pretty much anything we think that we may need, again, with the airport being excluded. Also, should there be any conflicts of interest that may develop, that a consultant may have with a developer work that they're already involved with, that would allow us to use another firm without causing us any problems in reassigning? And also, just mentioned in the last miscellaneous consultant selection, there were also six firms selected, and that seemed to work well with us. There was a case of at least one of the firms which was not available, their business, they went out of business, so you could have those types of things. So again, with this many firms, it allows us a lot of flexibility.
You say previously it was six, I thought it was three.
No, there the six previous firms were GMB, DBF, Duffield, ECI, that was the firm that was not available for services, Axiom, and CABE.
Do you recall what I'm thinking of with respect to three other firms? I think it might have been before your time.
I can't recollect.
You have a motion, sir?
Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Let's have the motion first.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Motion first?
Uh-huh. Yes, please.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Consultant Selection Committee, that the Sussex County Council approve the selection of George Miles and Buehr, GMB, Davis Bowen and Ferdell, DBF, Hazen and Sawyer, RK&K, EA Engineering Science and Technology, EA, KCI, and Pannoni to provide miscellaneous consultant services to include but not limited to survey, planning, environmental assessment, engineering design, construction inspection, value engineering, and other services as needed for a 5-year period effective today, June 3rd, 2014.
We have a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Now, questions on the motion. Mr. Deaver?
I have to help me understand why you need five firms to do these. One firm can't do it all. I'm not sure that I understand why.
Sure.
You're talking about hiring all of them.
Essentially. And it's possible, again, that some firms may have more work assigned to them than others, depending on those issues I mentioned, either their availability of work. They may have too much work when we go to them.
Who chooses that?
Well, myself along with Mr. Izzo as county engineer.
I see. Okay.
But the attempt will be is to try to share the work among all those firms.
Right.
And again, it offers us a great amount of flexibility. We had, it's actually, you mentioned five, it's actually a total of seven firms altogether.
Oh, sorry, seven firms, all right.
Yes, and it was difficult. I mean, we had great response from the consultant industry, 17 firms. It's very difficult to make decisions.
Oh, I'm not criticizing.
Sure.
I'm trying to understand.
It's a lot. You know, it could be argued that we could have even taken more because they were so qualified. Mm-hmm. But at a certain point, it becomes difficult to manage
Absolutely.
That many. It's a significant number, but again, it gives us a lot of flexibility over a long period of time.
Well, I have a question about your motion. You use the word committee. I'm not sure if it's actually a committee, isn't there another term that's? Am I misunderstanding that? Is that it was a committee?
It was a group of staff.
A group of
used
staff
used to make this selection process.
Okay. Do we have any reason to have to change that or amend that? Okay.
No.
Good.
No.
I got a question.
One question, Mr. Cole.
With all these firms, no money changes hands until you assign a project to a firm, right? So
absolutely,
this doesn't cost us anything. They just get on a list for, and if you have a project, do you shuffle it around or do you look for a better price? I mean, is there any, or do you just call one up and say, look, we got a project for you?
Well, hopefully we're going to share the work, perhaps starting with the priority in which they were selected.
Okay.
And at the same time, try to balance the workload.
How about cost? And my concern would be, say if we went to one firm and for some reason a light bulb goes off and somebody says, you know, that seems a little high. Is that a reason to go to the next firm and maybe see what they would do it for? Or is that inappropriate?
That possibility exists. We've had that discussion. including with our legal counsel, to make sure that it would be legal to do so and provide and us that opportunity.
We're comfortable with that, Everett and stuff, doing, because I think, again, the public would like to know that we are trying to negotiate the best prices for our services. Okay. All right, that's all.
I don't think it's legal, George.
Pardon me?
I understand it's not legal. It's not legal for us to take bids on these people.
Not bids, but I just think
In other words, when they give a flat price, they claim to cut the quality of work.
Okay.
And that's the problem. So there's their argument. So it's hard to really get a bid out of these people. That's the way it is.
I think the bidding
process. Mr. Phillips.
Thank you. If it's okay. I think the bidding process is illegal when you want to first qualify those firms. What we are doing here is pre-qualifying a set of firms. As you say, number one seems high. I think Mr. Cole has an excellent suggestion, which should be employed as much as possible. Don't hesitate to go to number two. They've already been pre-qualified. It's not a closed seal bid, which is illegal. It is a request for a price from a pre-qualified consultant. And I think what you're doing is very wise, and I appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That is our understanding as well.
More questions on the motion?
I agree with Mr.
Wilson.
Phillips. I agree with Mr. Phillips. I think we should have a list of people that we can go to, not look at one, think they're the only one in, and charge what they want. I agree with that 100%.
And this list that Mr. Wilson's referencing is six strong?
Well, it's seven. There was a tie for six, so we took seven.
Could you consider all of them local firms?
Some more so. Some have their operation only in Delaware. Most have operation in at least in Delaware, and in maybe another state. And there's maybe, I'd have to go through exactly, there's at least maybe one who does not have an office in Delaware.
One.
In fact, maybe two.
That does not have an office in Delaware.
Currently.
Yeah, that's a concern, but.
In some cases, it's local. For example, Ocean Pines, Maryland, not very far from us. They do work in this area. They're familiar with working for clients in this area.
And I'd just like to say I really appreciate this. I think it is good for the local economy to spread this work around. I think it's great that we're going to be in a very comfortable position in negotiating. It won't take a lot of extra work on the part of our engineering staff. And the value engineering ease is something that I think should be employed, as I believe the president has indicated. Any major job should have a second opinion on the value engineered aspect.
Yes, and certain firms made it a point of emphasis to indicate that they had familiarity with doing these in the past. And so, again, when you get to expertise, there may be some that are better than others at providing that service.
Thank you, Mr. Wright, and thank you, Mr. Izzo.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
This third item.
You're doing all three of these, all this work?
Well, he's a new guy, right?
Okay, that explains it. I'm sorry. Thank you. That's all right. I'm just curious.
I am certainly not doing all this work alone, I assure you. This third item involves an amendment to an existing consultant contract labeled as amendment number 52 with Whitman, Requarts & Associates. This amendment involves the Route 26 DLDOT project, essentially, as an agreement that Sussex County has with DLDOT. DLDOT hired a contractor to perform the widening of the road, but it also includes some work for Sussex County. The portion that this relates to is involving our existing facilities. So rather than get too far off track, I'll go to my script there a bit. So it involves the amendment number 52 with Whitman Reccourt for construction administration and inspection on the Route 26 force main relocation. Route 26 being widened, as I mentioned, from the Assawoman Canal all the way to Clarksville over the next 2 years. Sussex County has existing facilities in the portion between Assawoman Canal and roughly Central Avenue at Ocean View. Those facilities are in conflict with proposed storm drainage that DLDOT will be placing in approximately, I believe it is exactly nine locations. As required under the state law, DLDOT must reimburse publicly owned utility owners who exist within the state right-of-way under a franchise agreement or permit, which we have, whenever those facilities require adjustments or relocations for the state's need. Under an agreement between DLDOT and Sussex County, Whitman Record, on behalf of Sussex County, provided us design services initially and are following up at this time with construction administration and inspection to coordinate and protect the interest of the county. This amendment, which is attached, provides for professional services over a period of approximately 180 days of the entire 900 days that DLDOT has allowed George and Lynch to complete the entire project. And based on George and Lynch's schedule that has been approved, the force main relocation work has taken place somewhat in April and May, will be suspended during the summer of 2014, resume in September, and hopefully finish in January of 2015. Again, their project will continue on into 2016. Upon completion of the work, Sussex County will then bill DLDOT for reimbursement of all professional services. So all of the work that we will pay Whitman Record for here will be reimbursed entirely by DLDOT upon completion. The construction cost that affects relocating our work that's being paid to George and Lynch is being paid directly to George and Lynch by DLDOT. So that money does not, we do not pass through at all. They pay 100% of that and the associated cost to, again, design and inspect it. None of the county's money. The total amendment cost for both the construction administration and inspection is in the amount of $130,421. And the estimated construction cost for the work is $1.55 million.
This is all reimbursed 100% at the end of the project by DLDOT?
Yes, for the construction professional services at the end is the agreement. So we will put the money up until that time. We'll bill them promptly upon completion. But again, they put up 100% of the money to be paid to George and Lynch as they go. And we never put any of that money up.
Okay. You have a motion?
Yes, sir. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the Sussex County Council approves Amendment Number 52 with Whitman Record and Associates for construction administration and inspection of the Route 26 force main being relocated by DLDOT's contractor, George and Lynch, with full reimbursement of these engineering services from DLDOT upon completion of the work.
Okay, motion. Motion, Mr. Cole, second.
I'll second it.
Favor. Questions on the motion?
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. Phillips.
What is the percentage that that works out to be?
I thought you may ask that question. Okay. And I don't have the exact number, but I know I did it quickly. I believe it's between 8 and 9%.
What are your figures? The consulting amount is 135?
130,421.
134.
About 10%.
130,421.
It's 8.4%.
8.4.
There you go.
Thank you.
I've heard often the number should be closer to 6-7 maybe.
I believe we had this question recently, and my attempt to explain it was
I hear you. This, I know it's
it relates to the
time and materials. Yeah.
They have indicated, which we had no control over, they being the contractor, George and Lynch, that they would complete this work in 180 days. We actually thought when the project was bid that they were going to focus on this work between January and Memorial Day and finish it. That would have reduced these costs significantly. DLDOT accepted a contract that allowed him to complete, I believe he's completed three relocations so far, and he has six more remaining. And so we were, again, it's their money that they're paying, and they agreed to allow him 180 days to do it. Had they allowed him 90 days, this number would be half of that.
Question number would have been half of that.
Well, if it was 90 days versus 180 days, it's time is money. It would have been essentially half of the construction cost for the time that the inspector would have been on the project.
More questions to council?
No.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I'm going to have to vote no. I think we need to really be looking at these numbers hard. If the consultant comes in low, I don't know if this is true or not, but I would think a change order could be considered. I'd rather them start out low and have to ask permission for more than the other way around.
Yeah.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
And you got one more left.
And this one definitely needs some help, and I'm looking there. Yes. Mr. Jones is going to assist me greatly, I hope, with this item. This item involves the runway 422 airport project. This is the 500-foot extension, what we refer to as package one, that we completed between the summer of 2012 and the fall of 2013. So this is not the contract that we're working on out there currently. Bob Jones, as the project engineer, as I mentioned, will be presenting the balancing change order, time extension, and substantial completion of package one. The balancing change order in the amount of $48,518.01 represents an increase of approximately 1.58% of the original bid value of $3,072,671.50 for a final cost of $3,121,189.51. Full documentation, you had quite a thick packet there provided, indicates all the justification of the individual pay items. Bob will provide an overview of the change order as well and explain the significant effects we had of the poor soil conditions at the airport as well as the poor weather during this course of this project and the effect that that had on the cost and the time to complete the project. In addition to the balancing change order for payment to our contractor, which is Mumford & Miller, and the associated time extension, I'll present amendment number 14 for construction administration and inspection costs in the amount of $108,410 to Urban Engineers Incorporated. So with that, Bob.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Just a recap of the package one. Package one consisted of two parts. Part one, which was basically to be done in the fall of 2012, was the construction of the taxiway A extension, the addition of the stormwater management pond, drainage swales, and outfall structure. Since we were extending the runway 500 feet, we, of course, had to extend the taxiway additional 500 feet. And by breaking it into two parts and doing the taxiway A first and then go into winter shutdown, we did not have to displace the threshold or shorten the runway during that time frame, which would have limited the the larger aircraft and, of course, fuel capacities of departing aircraft. So that was the reason for doing part one in the fall, and then going into part two in the spring would have been the actual 500-foot extension of the runway. So when I talk about package one, part one, and part two, that's what I'm talking about. We started part one on August 20th, 2012, and we're proceeding along, got the swales done, got the stormwater pond done per, you know, sediment erosion control requirements to establish sediment erosion control before you actually do excavation. Then we started into the excavation, and then along came Hurricane Sandy and dumped almost 9 inches of rain on us. At the time, the week before, when we knew Hurricane Sandy was going to be here and it was going to be, you know, hit our area, we were still short on the fill, short on the stone, and then we hit the bury pit, where somewhere along the course of the construction of the original, I assume the original runway back in 43, they dug out beside where new taxiway A tied into the existing taxiway A. They just dug out the good dirt, used it to fill underneath the taxiway, buried the bad dirt, the organics, with stumps, which we found, and some logs in the area where we needed to build taxiway A. So we had to undercut that area somewhere as deep as 4 foot just to get rid of the organics so that we could build the structure. And also along in that time, next to the area where the old jet track was, we had a little fuel smell when we did the undercut. So we had a very interesting week that week to get everything done, but in buttoned up and got the stone cap before Hurricane Sandy hit. The unfortunate thing about Hurricane Sandy was it dropped almost 9 inches of rain on us. Beginning in November, with the short days, less drying, lower temperatures, unfortunately, we tried for a couple weeks to get it dry to where we could pave, because the goal was to have the pavement down. Unfortunately, it just didn't dry. We did a test strip. It failed. Water was coming up through the subgrade, and we couldn't get compaction, so we stopped part one. So it left some of the pavement to go to part two in the spring. Then we went into winter shutdown and then started part two on April 15th of 2013. And the runway was basically 500 feet long, 150 feet wide, which is about 2 acres. And we averaged probably a fill of about 2.5 to 3 feet. Some places it was 3.5 feet fill once we stripped the topsoil. Then the rains came. Basically, it was one of the wettest spring and summers I can remember. According to the documentation right there at the weather station, from April through August, we had 33.45 inches of rain, which was like 13.67 inches of rain above normal. So we were fighting a large swimming hole trying to build it. We had contingency items in there of some extra yardage for undercut. We also had some fabric items in there of 3,000 square yards. Fortunately, we ended up using 8,000 square yards. So between all the areas, we had undercut, pump, place fabric, compact. We used extra stone. We undercut some of the stone to stabilize and put hot mix in. We spent approximately about $135,000 to get it ready to pave between the taxiway and the runway, just the runway. I'm sorry, I meant total. So basically, we ended up with negotiating a 30-day time extension. Of course, the contractor's title, when you got all that kind of rain, excessive rain, he's entitled to a time extension because it can't really work. So we agreed to a 30-day time extension, and that's part of the change order. And then the rest of the change order ended up being changes to contract quantities, which in the spreadsheet you had in your package was part A, and part B was some new pay items we had that we didn't anticipate, you know, things, a couple things in the original bid, and it amounted to a total change of part B of roughly $3,200, rounding it off. So that's where we ended up with the $48,000 in the change order. If we didn't have all the bad weather, we'd probably have been under or thereabouts. But the weather conditions are beyond our control, but we did the best we could. Any questions on this part?
Why didn't you wait? Why didn't you just wait?
Wait?
Yeah, wait for the dry up. Why did you have to fight against the weather?
Well, we started in April 15th. We displaced the threshold right off the bat. We had to.
Anything I do, if I can't get in the fields to plow, I just wait. I can't go get a bigger tractor. I just wait. I can't afford all that extra money.
Well,
I just understand why why it had to be done that day and why I had to spend so much more money. I just don't understand that.
Well, you had a contractor that, if we delayed, would have probably submitted a delay claim.
Well, we can't help the weather. I know in farming that they say when I'm supposed to spread chicken manure, I'm supposed to listen to the weather report and find out if it's going to rain or not. Well, that's all baloney to me, because who knows what's going to rain or not rain, and if you listen to the weather forecast, you never know that. And I can't understand. I just can't, in the life of me, why we have to say, well, I spent $150,000 more dollars because of weather. I just can't understand it. It's going to be a drier time later, and it's going to come. And unless it's an absolute emergency, I don't understand why we spent that kind of money.
I got an open hole at the end of a runway that is kind of, sort of.
I understand.
Needs to be filled.
I understand.
And if you got water in it and you let water lay in it and it silts and clays, it's going to get worse and it's going to cost more.
It's going to go down. That's what it's going to do.
When the water table would go down, yes, sir, but.
That's absolutely right.
We'd been in cold weather again.
Well, I don't know about that. You don't know that. We don't know that. I don't know that. We look at the weather. It's always dry during the summer. It's always wet in the spring. 90% of the time, I can guarantee you, if you don't know the weather, I can tell you it's going to be wet in the spring. Never start any kind of excavation work in the spring. Always go towards the summer, and you got dry weather. It's just, that's the rule of thumb. I know that from being a farmer. I don't know what else. You're a title engineer, evidently, but I know that much.
Any more questions, Council?
No.
Now I have to continue, if I may.
You sure can.
as Bob explained, or attempted to explain, at least the poor weather experienced during the fall of 2012 and the summer of 2013, spring and summer of 2013, how it led to an extension of time for the construction contractor, Mumford & Miller. It likewise required the services of our consultant for an extended period. The original agreement provided for, excuse me, services for 230 calendar days, starting in August 2012, with two phases of 100 days and 130 days, and a winter shutdown. The anticipated completion, was August 22nd, 2013. Actual substantial completion was September 21st, 2013. The inspection cost included not only Urban Engineers cost, but some of their subconsultants, Craig Testing and Duffield Associates, who were required to provide independent material testing of soils, aggregates, and asphalt, both at the plants, particularly at an asphalt plant, and at the field location at the airport. Sometimes there were days that started out well and then ended with rain. Other days were total washouts. In addition to the extended period of construction activity due to the poor weather, the anticipated closeout period was extended for punch list work and extended negotiations to resolve issues with our contractor. Several potential claims involving poor soils and other payment disagreements were ultimately resolved with county's assistance, resulting in the final 1.58% contract overrun that was mentioned. That number was initially as high as 4%, or about $80,000 more than what we have ended up with. So while the period required for resolution of the outstanding issues added expense to the professional service agreement, there were savings in contractors' payments as well as potential legal expenses that more than offset these increases. That's it, sir.
You have a motion?
Yes, sir.
You all right?
I'll start. Okay. Yep. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the balancing change order for Sussex County Contract 12-06, extend runway 422 Package 1 with Mumford & Miller Contract Concrete Incorporated be approved, which increases the contract by the amount of $48,518.01 for a new contract total of $3,121,189.51. The contract time is increased by 30 calendar days and substantial completion is granted effective September 21st, 2013. And that final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents, all subject to the approval of DLDOT and or the Federal Aviation Administration. Be it further moved that the contract amendment number 14 for construction administration inspection with Urban Engineers Incorporated on the same contract 1206 be approved, increasing the contract in the amount of $108,410 for total compensation of $454,410.
Pleasure, Council.
I have a question, but you want me to wait out?
Motion,
okay. Well, then I'll introduce it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole. Questions, Mrs. Deaver.
Question. That money is coming from, isn't that coming from DLDOT?
The total funding, I believe, is 90% FAA, and
right.
I think 5% DLDOT, and 5% county.
Right, but I mean, how much, 5% county?
5%.
Okay, all right. So how much are you talking about from the county?
So if this total of these two items was roughly 150,000, I'm rounding, 40,
of everything.
48 and 100 and whatever, 10% would be 15,000, so $7,500.
It's going to cost us $7,500.
Okay.
All right. So it's over $100,000, actually, but
yes,
our portion is $7,500. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Any more questions to Council?
All taxpayers' money.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I share Mr. Wilson's concern. Granted, it's federal money, but it does seem like there could have been some better decisions made. I'll vote no.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I have six grants for your consideration. The first one is Lewis Historical Society. They're requesting a donation of $2,000 for their annual Chautauqua tent show. They are the five-day educational event. We'll have lectures, musical entertainment, and actors from the American Historical Theater depicting Harriet Tubman, Clara Barton, President Abraham Lincoln, and Walt Whitman. Last grant received was $2,000 from Ms. Deaver.
President Lincoln will be there.
He'll be depicting. They'll have an actor.
That would be very interesting. I can spare right now $1,000 from my account, but no more at this time.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second.
Second.
Mr. Phillips, to grant $1,000 to Lewis Historical Society for their annual tent show. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
Next one is Milton Historical Society is requesting $1,000 to start a community garden project in Milton Historical Society's grounds. There have been no past grants for this project.
I would like to contribute $500 from my account.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $500 from Mrs. Deaver's account to the Historical Society of Milton for their community garden project. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
Okay. Delaware Police Chiefs Council is requesting $1,630 for their local police coordination. These funds will help supplement the $870 that was received as a human service grant to bring their total grant to $2,500. A similar grant was given in 2013 for $1,630, which was $326 from each council member.
Your council.
So moved.
Sorry. Where does that money go? To do what?
It helps with the police, the municipality police, to work with. They have a state organization that helps train the municipal police department.
Oh, it's for the towns?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $326 from each councilmatic account for a total of $1,630 to the Delaware Police Chiefs Council for local police coordination. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. Next one is the Seaford School District's requesting support for their students of the International Baccalaureate Program. The cost per student for this program is over $700. Last grant received was $1,000 from Mr. Vincent.
Like a motion to grant $500 from my account.
I'll make that motion.
And I'll second that.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $500 from my account's MAC account to the Seaford School District for the IB program. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
The town of South Bethany is requesting support to purchase 2 AEDs for the beach patrol. The cost of the AED units is $1,400. Last grant received was $1,500, which was $1,000 from Mr. Phillips and $500 from Mr. Cole.
I'm good for half of it, $700. Mr. Cole, would you like to participate?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
$700 from Mr. Cole, $700 from Mr. Phillips to fulfill the $1,400 request.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Cole, to grant $1,400 to the town of South Bethany to purchase AEDs for the beach patrol, being $700 from Mr. Phillips' council MAC account and $700 from Mr. Cole's. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, I might go swimming someday down in South Bethany.
There you go.
You never know. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The last grant is for the town of Fenwick Island. They're requesting $750 to assist with landscape funding. The funds will purchase native landscaping around the town entrance sign. There have been no past grants for this type of project for the town.
I will grant $750 for that request.
Motion, thanks. Mr. Phillips. Second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $750 Mr. Phillips' councilmatic account to the town of Fenwick Island for a landscaping project. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Are you done with that? I wanted
answer
to
done, yes.
Ask something. I had a request for a report of where the money went this year from the different council people, how much and where did it go.
Okay.
So I don't know.
If, Mr. Jennings.
If we, is that something that we can, mm-hmm. we can do?
We have that.
Public thank information.
You. Public information readily available. Yes, ma'am.
Proposed
zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore.
There are none, Mr. President.
Next business, Mr. Guy.
Oh, he's coming up. There was an interesting discussion I had with Ms. Jennings about the money that is used for these grant requests. Conceivably, if you would take all the tax money at the beginning of our fiscal consideration and divide it into all the line items to run the county government, salaries and all, you would exhaust the actual tax money at that point. We would then look to excess revenue from offices that oftentimes are helped by growth in the county, the recorder of deeds office, not necessarily growth related, but the register of wills, inspection fees, building permits. And from those funds, we are able to fund these grants. So I sometimes question when people say, you're using my property tax money for these grants. Quite frankly, our property taxes are only about 26% of our total revenue. Is that correct?
Correct. It's about a quarter.
About a quarter. And other revenue sources fund 75% of our budget, such as these grants.
We'll start now with the additional business brought forward, Council. First on the list looks like Dr.